We are appreciative of our visitors who are here with us today. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us. That is not working. I'll just speak loudly.
This is Brother John Doe. And he has responsibilities and people that he relates with. He may go to school. He may go to work. He may go to both. He may be on a team or a fire department or a civic organization. And so he goes around to these different places, and he's also got neighbors that he may or may not get along with. He goes to church. And, of course, he probably lives in a house, likely with some other homo sapiens. Perhaps he's got siblings and parents that he may or may not get along with. Perhaps he's got a wife and kids that he may or may not be getting along with. And it may be that out here, he's got some places where it work, either the customers or this co-employer or that manager or that boss, he has trouble getting along with. Or brother or sister so-and-so, he has trouble getting along with. Or that neighbor over there on the south side that he has so much trouble getting along with. Of course, now, if he has trouble getting along with everybody, he's pretty much like the fellow that never bathes and walks around thinking that everywhere else smells bad. You know, he ought to realize where the problem is. But even if he's getting along, say, with the people here, or his neighbors, or here, or here, or here, that doesn't mean that he's always going to be free from strife. And some of that, thank you, Sam, some of that, maybe he can't help. Romans 12, the passage we talked about in our Wednesday night class, said, inasmuch as in you is possible, be at peace with all men. It's not always possible. There were a lot of early Christians who were taken and burned alive, executed, and other things, and what they did was be loyal to Jesus Christ, and the world didn't want to be at peace with them. But we have a responsibility, and we were studying in our Wednesday night class the works of the flesh, and we were talking about tools to use, tools and biblical principles to keep us out of these areas. We're in the list where we were going over enmity, strife, jealousies, and outbursts of wrath. And we had a good class on that, but one thing we didn't get to was the book of Proverbs. And if you're going to talk about biblical tools to deal with things like that, Proverbs is just full of them. And so we're going to be looking at Proverbs this morning in respect to these things, and here's what I want you to watch for. In the book of Proverbs, we're going to do a close-up now on John. John has two ears, and John's got a mouth. And a lot of Proverbs is about using these and being careful about using this. And, of course, what's going on in John's heart and mind and attitude is going to be very important as well. So we're going to read through some Proverbs, and I thought one way to do this would be to categorize the Proverbs on this and on that and on that. But I decided I'm going to do what Proverbs does, and it kind of hops and skips around, which means it hits a point, and then it comes back later, and it hits that point again. And it hits that point again. So I want to ask you to open your Bible. We're going to be going through every passage except for some New Testament references. We'll be in Proverbs. And we're going to hit here and there as we go. And I want you to think about ourselves in this situation. Starting off in Proverbs chapter 2.
My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear, right there, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now, come over to chapter 6. The six, yea, seven things that the Lord hates. These are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes. An arrogant look. You know what? Wherever John goes, if he's dealing with his neighbors and he has an arrogant attitude, with his teammates and he has an arrogant attitude, if he goes to church and he has an arrogant attitude with his brethren, with his co-workers, with his boss, you know what? John's going to have a lot of trouble. And it's what the Lord hates. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that divides wicked plans, feet that haste to run evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. Why do people sow discord? I think sometimes some people accidentally in the sense that it wasn't their absolute intent, but it's kind of the difference between being thoughtful and thoughtless. You can be, or considerate and inconsiderate. You can be inconsiderate without deciding, I want to behave in an inconsiderate way towards you. You can be inconsiderate by not being considerate. You can be unthoughtful by not being thoughtful. And one thing that's going to give John or you or I trouble is if in the first place we're not at peace in ourselves. If John's not happy with himself, and he's upset with himself, it's going to make it easier for him to be having trouble in these other ways. And one way that he can sow discord is if either to compensate for that or something else, he's trying to promote himself. And so a person interested in self-promotion will often try to do what? First off, where's his focus? If you're interested in self-promotion, where's your focus? Me. It's not on the Lord, it's where? Me. And then if you're interested in self-promotion, you remember the Pharisee praying to God? Well, the text said he prayed with himself. You know, that's where that prayer got to. But it was about what? God, I thank you that I'm better than all these people. That kind of an attitude will sow discord. Drop with me over to chapter 9, verse 7 and 10. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. This is chapter 9, verse 7. Whoever reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Don't reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, he'll increase in learning. So what I need to do, what you need to do, what John needs to do, is use these ears and listen to advice and teaching. Don't reject it, don't oppose it, don't scoff at it. Listen, a reproof does what for the wise man? Makes him wiser. But for the foolish man, what is reproof? Reproof is putting me down, so I'm going to resist that. I'm going to fight that. What does a wise man need to do? Become wiser from it. Don't reprove a scoffer. For instance, if you're in business, if you have to deal with customers, sometimes you know that there's some kind of knucklehead people in the world. And if you try to get in a fight with every customer over every issue, it's not going to go well. And your boss is not going to find you an asset to the company. You have to kind of choose your battles and decide when it's worth it to make an issue, whether it's important or not, and when to realize that some people don't want to hear something and not waste your time getting into an argument with a miserable person. It's kind of like getting into a fight with a skunk. You know, you're not going to come out smelling very good. Chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife. Love covers all offenses. In this, it may be John is able to get along with people here, there, there, but somewhere or other, either it's his teammate, or it's someone in his family, or someone in his extended family, or some particular neighbor or something, there's somebody that they have just rubbed each other raw for a long time, and so there's lots of scabs. And what happens when you have a scab? It's easy to get that ripped off. Then what happens? It wasn't healed, and now it's reopened the injury, and it starts all over again. And so in these cases, it's easy to get into a situation where there's just a reopening and a reopening and a reopening of wounds. And it may be that in some of that somewhere, John or you or I are totally not at fault. It's 100% the other person. That does happen. You know what else happens more often? It's partly somebody else's fault, and it's partly our fault. And you know what else happens? Sometimes it's very little somebody else's fault, and it's very much our fault. Hatred stirs up strife. Love covers all offenses. So what do we want? Do we want forgiveness and healing? Or do we want animosity? Do we want hostility? Do we want to knock that scab off and make them feel that? Chapter 10, verse 19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. Whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Another translation says, in a multitude of words, there wants not transgression. So the more that is coming out of here, the more John is going to mess up. In a multitude of words, transgression is not lacking. Which means sometimes we need to remember what Ecclesiastes said. There's a time to keep silent. Another proverb says, a fool speaks everything that's in his heart. And sometimes we started off saying something helpful and good, but we haven't thought it all out. And then it just goes and goes. I'll give you a humorous illustration. This is not talking about sin, but just the way that our words can get us in trouble. My friend tells about one time he was preaching. And so we joked about getting off your notes. He was talking about the importance of honesty. And wanting in his notes, but he just decided to throw in, I'm glad my wife never asked me if these jeans make her look fat. At that point, you know, his mouth has been going, and all of a sudden his ears hear what his mouth said. So he says, not that I'm saying my wife is fat. Then he realized there were all sorts of shapes of people in the room, and he said, but not that there's anything wrong with being fat. And his wife was just looking at him. And one of the brothers, And that's a funny illustration of something that we've all got into probably at different times on a more serious level. Of we start talking about something, and you know what? It's easy to start saying some things that don't need to be said. The Bible has an awful lot to say about gossip, slander. In the list of the Gentiles that are worthy of death, you know what two of the things were? Along with being murderers, whisperers, and backbiters. And it's real easy to end up saying something that shouldn't be said. It's also really easy to say something that should be said, but to say it in a way that we shouldn't have said it. In a multitude of weird words, there lacks not transgression. Chapter 10, verse 26. And as I said, we're jumping around in this. This one can apply to when he's at work. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. If John's at work and his boss tells him to get this done, and he just keeps not getting it done, that's going to be annoying. That's going to cause strife. That's also probably going to cause a lack of his employment at that particular place. Drop down. So do what needs to be done. Chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. Whether it's in our home, with our family, our extended family, in these different relationships, when we start acting prideful, we start acting foolish and destructive. Look at chapter 11, verse 9 and 12. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. Also, verse 12, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense. Also, look at verse 13, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. One of the things about a gossip is that sometimes they, and it may be done out of absolute ill will, it may be done with some misguided version of good intent. I need other people to know what I know about this person. I need other people to be aware that she may be this kind of person, he may be that kind of person, and so they interject things into their conversation to let you know how to view this person or that person. That's not our job. Our job, what does James say, chapter 4 and chapter 5, murmur not, brethren, one against another? Our job is not to go around giving people information so that other people will look at other people the way we want them to look at them. That's not our job. You know what? Human beings are not obviously perfect. We're all prime examples of that. But everybody here has done things that we're ashamed of. Failed miserably in this or that. Is that what we want to define us? Do we want other people, when they meet us, to be preloaded by, well, this is what you need to know about Scott or John or whoever? Now, you know what? If we've got shortcomings, people will probably sooner or later notice what some of our shortcomings are. And then, you know what they can do? They can talk to us. Talking to people is what the Bible says to do instead of talking about people. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, what do you do? You go to him alone, show him his fault. Now maybe last year somebody else had to talk to him about that same thing. Maybe last month somebody else had talked to him about that same thing. Good. Maybe he'll start getting it. And the more times somebody needs to talk to him, thank you, I failed at that again. I appreciate it. And he'll improve. What he doesn't need, what you don't need, what we don't need, is for somebody then to stop talking to us and start talking about us. But what if talking to him doesn't work? Well, Jesus answered that. If talking to him doesn't work, what did Jesus say? You get one or two more to go talk to him. Hopefully he'll listen to them. Well, what if that doesn't work? Well, Jesus answered that. Then you present it to the church and see if he'll listen to the church. Well, what if that doesn't work? Jesus answered that. Then the church has to realize that he's not willing to be a disciple and repent and obey, and he's to be viewed spiritually as a Gentile and publican. And you pray and hope he'll come back. But we have to watch what we say, not go around trying to destroy or belittle people. Chapter 12, verse 1. When we're the one being corrected, which I need, which you need. Chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. He who hates reproof is stupid. Chapter 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings him shame is like rottenness in his bones. Sometimes it's in our own families where we can have conflict, and it can come from the wife, it can come from the husband, it can come from the siblings, parent to children, children to parent, or a combination of it all. And there's a difference between being a help and a hindrance. And we need to stop being hindrances. We need to be helps. Chapter 12, verse 8. A man is commended according to his good sense. One of twisted mind is despised. Good sense. Common sense. Using our heads. Keep dropping on down here. Our next one, chapter 12, verse 10. This relates not just to how we treat people, but even animals. Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast. Did you see in the news this past week or two, there was an Amish man arrested. Big wagon full of watermelons, would have needed two horses. He's got one horse pulling it here in hot August, and it just couldn't do it, and it fell over. And pictures were taken of him. He's kicking the horse. He's hitting it in the head. The horse had to be put down. He was arrested. It tells you something about a person, how they treat those under them, even their animals. How did he treat his horse? I've mentioned in the past that CEOs will sometimes make a habit of taking a prospective person to be put in a high position out to dinner purposely to watch how they relate to the waitresses and waiters, because they realize that's a mark of a person, not just how you view people who are above you in a position of authority or ability to financially compensate, but those people that are under you, or in this case, even your farm animal and that type of thing. Chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Keep in mind how much of this is going to be about how John Doe is using his ears and how he's using his mouth. 12:16. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Ever been oversensitive? I've been oversensitive. You ever seen an overripe banana? If you got some bananas and they're all in good shape, you can drop them on the kitchen table. You can, you know, and they don't, ah! But yeah, you get an overripe banana, and it just can't handle anything. little kids. There are certain behaviors in children that kind of are reflected in different ways in adults. Little kids, for instance, might push each other. Or then a little bit older, they name call. Then we get a little older and we become more mature. So now it's gossip or manipulating or passive-aggressive behavior and those different type of things. But sometimes, like dealing with little kids in sports, you might have a kid, ow, he bumped me, ow, he hurt me, ow, he... Nobody wants to listen to that all the time. But we can grow up and we can be that. There we go. Thanks for pinching the baby right there. But we can get that way as adults where we're just oversensitive. Let's continue. Chapter 12, verse 18. I'm going to speed up a little bit here. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So you can say something, and maybe it's true. It was true. Saying something is true does not mean it needed to be said. In the first place, if this person did this and you talked to them about that and they apologized about that, and then I go over here and I say, did you know what they did? Is it true? It's true, but it should be what? It should be forgiven. And it wasn't this other person's business in the first place. Why does Matthew 18:15 say, go to him alone? The whole purpose of alone is what? It should never go beyond those two people. So you can say something true. It shouldn't be said. Or you can say something true that needs to be said, but just the way we choose to say it. There are times that things need to be said. And what does Galatians say? In a spirit of gentleness. But it can also be done how? Like the thrusting of a sword. And then put that spin on it at the end. Chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son does what? Hears his father's instruction. Chapter 13, verse 3. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. Whoever opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Chapter 13, verse 10. By insolence comes nothing but strife. Insolence, along with the idea of insolence, is just that kind of overinflated view of our own, worth or smarts. You ever meet those people that, I wish they were as smart as they think they are type people. And they just walk around with just an air of, well, along with insolence, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get strife. Chapter 14, verse 1. The wisest of women builds her house, but with folly her own hands tears it down. And again, this can be the man, it can be the woman, it can be anybody in the house. Sometimes it is in our own family that we will fail to be as polite as we easily are out in other places. Sometimes people will get along with everybody in the house but not elsewhere, and sometimes vice versa. And it can also come from standards of, if you're in my house, I'm going to defend you and excuse whatever you do, and then hold other people really accountable. Or that can be reversed. You can give other people slack, but then you can be really demanding of people within our own house. Well, we should want everyone to do well. We should want to do well. But when we cross over into being strifeful, then it just gets to be a mess. Chapter 14, verse 17. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. Chapter 14, verse 29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. He who has a hasty temper exalts folly. When we talk before thinking, gets us in a lot of trouble. 14 verse 30. End of the verse. Envy makes the bones rot. If you let jealousy control you, if you let envy control you, you know who you're really destroying? It may be annoying to other people, but you know who you're just absolutely destroying? Yourself. Chapter 15, verse 1. What turns away wrath? A soft answer. What stirs up anger? A harsh word. Chapter 15, verse 3. Verse 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Chapter 15, verse 23 and 28. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man. And a word in good season, how good is it? Look also at 31 and 32. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. To when something comes out, let it be beneficial and then listen to it. We need to do more listening, less talking. I remember two friends that I had when I was first preaching, and I loved both of them. But their personalities were so very, very different. One of them didn't speak much, but when he did, it was well thought out, it was mature, it was wise, and we all went, oh, that's good. The other one, I loved him, but his mouth was always going. And what I loved about him was then later he would come back and he would say, I was wrong. Sometimes it would be later that day and he'd pull up, I was wrong. Sometimes it would be months later, I was wrong. And I appreciated that about him. I loved that about him. But, of course, he would have been less wrong if he would have been a little bit more like my other friend. Too many times I've been like this one, too, over here. But this one, he was so wise. And the wisdom, and I'm sure he had thoughts pop in his head, like I've had thoughts pop in my head, or this friend had pops. But he had the wisdom not to let it spill out all the time. It was a great advantage to him and other people around. Come over to chapter 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Remember we talked about that from Romans chapter 12? In fact, we're going to see that repeated in a bit. Chapter 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Chapter 17, verse 9. Whoever covers a defense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Back to the idea of gossip. Don't repeat it. Leave it quiet. It's not other people's business. Chapter 7, verse 14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. You ever had a garden hose, you know, and you got the spray nozzle on the end? And, of course, when it's not pressed, no water's coming out. But back here at the connection, it's on full blast. You ever taken that nozzle off and tried to put it back on? That's a wet job. It's like, the start of a quarrel is like letting the water out. Stop it before it starts. Chapter 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is a good medicine. A crushed spirit dries up the bone. You know what? If John, instead of being miserable himself, will be a joyous person, that's going to go a long way towards helping him with other people. Chapter 17, verse 28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. So sometimes maybe he doesn't know what to say. And so, good. Chapter 18, verse 8. Skipping several here, going to pick a few of the last ones and then we'll wind up. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. So if John comes up to me and his mouth is saying things that it shouldn't be, see, there's a time to listen and there's a time not to listen. But, oh, there's something juicy. Don't listen. The way to put gossip out of business is to boycott it. Don't listen to it. Say, don't tell me. You go talk to her about it. I don't want to hear it. You go talk to him about it. Chapter 18, verse 19. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. Quarreling is like the bars of a castle. 18:21. Look at this one. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The gospel was taught in words. Strife, dishonesty, gossip, boast, that comes in words also. It's our choice what we use our words for. Going around talking about people, destructive. Death, talking to people, life. Chapter 19, verse 27. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. We need to not stop listening. We need to keep listening. Chapter 20, verse 3, keep aloft from strife. Chapter 20, verse 19. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Don't associate with a simple babbler. And by the way, if a person will gossip to you, do not be surprised if they will gossip about you. Chapter 20, let's go down to chapter 24, 29. Do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done. And that's what we like to do sometimes, payback. Again, that's not our job. Chapter 25, verse 21 through 22. You'll recognize this if you've not noticed it here in Proverbs before. You'll recognize it from Romans 12. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. You'll heap burning coals on his head. The Lord will reward you. Boasting, chapter 25, verse 27. It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. Chapter 27, 2 said, let another person's lips praise you, not your own. It's one of the more foolish things to do, because why do people do it? To make themselves look better. When's the last time a braggart looked good to you? Doesn't work. Chapter 26, verse 20 through 22. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. When there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisper are like delicious morsels. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly. So take the wood out of the fireplace, get the gossip out of our mouths, and put an end to that type of thing. Chapter, three more verses here. They're all in chapter 29. Verse 11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. I want you to think about the anatomy of a volcano, the structure of it. And there's vents, okay? This person is going to give vent to what's going on inside. You know what goes on inside us? Different emotions and things. And there's things that start to get us riled up, and we can choose to feed it and just let it blow and then cause trouble, or we can be calm. And guess what? What happens to our emotions when we calm down and relax and don't make a big deal out of something? Yeah. When we're at a peak point in our anger, is that a good time to speak? And a few minutes later, the whole situation, you see the picture better, right? So if we'll hold back on that, but what do we do when we're foolish? Gives full vent to the spirit. This is what I think, and so this is what I'm going to say. I've done that too many times. This is what I think, and so this is what I'm going to say. And then, a few minutes later, maybe you don't even feel the same way, but you've already said it. And getting words back is kind of like trying to get that thing back on the hose, or blowing a dandelion when it's gone to seed, and then going around trying to pick up all the dandelion seeds. Wise man holds it back. Chapter 29, verse 20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than him. In verse 22, a man of wrath stirs up great strife. So what have we seen over and over? Makes a huge difference what's going on in here. But sometimes what's going on in here is on an emotional roller coaster, and we need to not respond to all of that and say every emotion that crosses our heart and mind. And get it in control. And God gave us two of these and just one of these. And we will be better people, more peaceful people, with less of these things, and more effective and more good for the kingdom when we will do more of this and less of this. This needs to be used. But in a multitude of words, there lacks not transgression. Let's think about what we're going to say and how we say it. Thank you for your attention. Let's stand and sing the song selected.